The people are there because of their background and their abilities and their story. So it makes sense to spotlight it, because when you showcase your best, you're going to attract the best. And that's what we want to do.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Donna Cerdula. Here's three facts that I think you should know about her. One, Donna wrote a For Dummies book on the topic of LinkedIn profile optimization. Two, she started her business in 2009, and since then they've branded over 8,000 executives, entrepreneurs, and professionals on LinkedIn and beyond. And three, she lives in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, with her husband, two sons, and their Japanese chin dog, Max. Donna Cerdula, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Hey, George, thank you so much for having me.
Delighted to be talking with you today, and we're going to explore LinkedIn profiles and how people can make better use of it, both for themselves and maybe the organization they work for.
Yeah.
And let's just start right there. Is there a danger of when one is branding oneself on LinkedIn, is there a danger of also trying to connect and brand and promote your employer?
You know, at one time when I first started, you know, optimizing profiles and working with executives, I used to say to the CEOs and those who were in leadership positions, I used to always say to them, you know, we've just made you look amazing on LinkedIn, and you're going to start to see amazing opportunities. You're going to see board opportunities, speaking engagements, equity positions. I mean, you're going to find more clients, more investors, like wonderful things are going to happen. How about we start looking at your employees and let's optimize their profiles? And the one thing that they would say to me was, oh, I don't want them to get poached. I don't want them to look good. If they look good, recruiters will be attracted. And then I'm out of luck. Well, you know, that was always the fear. But the truth is, there are ways of looking at your employees and branding your employees so they attract the right types of opportunities and attracting, you know, better clients, you know, prospects, investors, the right vendors. There's ways of doing it where you don't have to make a person look good so they look like they're looking, but rather you can make them look good so that they're looking to help forward the organization.
I suppose one concept to keep in mind is if you make your people look and feel good, if they do get that call for someone who wants to take them away, offer them another job, they'll more likely to say, no, thank you. I'm happy right here, because happy people don't leave.
Right. You know, there's that Zig Ziglar quote, the worst thing than training your employees and losing them to the competition is to not train them and keep them. And in some ways, I think there's a lot of crossover there, right? You know, what if you don't help them look good on LinkedIn? What happens if you don't, you know, help them brand themselves and they look like they're looking and you're now trying to recruit top talent? And people today, they grew up with social media. They grew up with LinkedIn. You know, it's very normal for a person who's looking at an organization to search and see, who am I going to be working with? Who are my teammates going to look like? You know, and they're going to pull them up. They're going to pull up those LinkedIn profiles. And if they don't get a good feeling, right? If those people that they're going to be working alongside look like they're looking, look like they're low level, look like they don't care, you know, are you going to truly attract these rock stars? No, you're going to lose them. You're going to lose them out to other organizations because rock stars want to work with other rock stars. So you want to make sure that your people look amazing. And the same thing goes, you know, potential clients are researching. They want to know, who are they going to be working with? You know, and if they don't look, if these people don't look great, you know, you're going to lose out.
And you're right. And I'm thinking if you're offering me a job to work for your company, naturally, first, I'm going to probably check your website, which I know is all propaganda. So I see it with a, you know, I read it with a jaundiced eye. And then I'm going to look on LinkedIn for people who work at your company and see what they say about themselves and the company, what it looks like. And
you'd also be looking at the leadership team too, wouldn't you? That's probably the first people that you're going to pull up. What does the CEO look like? What is the CHRO? What is the CMO? What is, you know, and you're going to go through all of those, the leaders, and you're going to say, how, you know, who are these people? Who am I going to be supporting? Who am I going to be working for?
Very true. And I suppose if one looks and sees, like, they haven't posted anything ever, and they don't even have their photo there. They're on their image.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to question? You're going to question their relevance. Is this company even relevant in today's age? I mean, that's going to be huge. But you're also going to say, do they not care? Where are they? What are they doing? Have they checked out? You know, are they even there helping and being a part of the leadership? If they're not showing up in any way, what does that say?
All right. So let's start right there with the leader of the organization, the CEO or the president. They call you up or they invite you in. They say, okay, Donna, help me fix my LinkedIn profile. Where do you start?
So we work with individuals, but we also work with companies. In this situation, it sounds like it's really an individual situation. And so, you know, it's really about understanding what are they hoping to achieve? Right. Oftentimes when you hear that, oh, help me with my LinkedIn profile, people's expectation is, all right, let's start writing. You can't. That's the worst thing to do. You really need to do some strategy. And you've got to say, you know, what are you hoping to achieve out of LinkedIn? What does success mean to you? What does it look like? What are you hoping to get close to? Right. We need to know their goal. And a person's goal can be a number of things, George, right? It could be that person's gonna say, well, we want to sell more. You know, we're doing this for sales and marketing. We want to prospect. That's why I'm on LinkedIn. Others might say, well, you know, I'm doing this because I recognize people are looking at me and they want to know more about me. And I really want to control that narrative. I want to control that perception. I want to make sure that I'm really showcasing who I am and all the things that I've done so they can respect me more and feel more confident in my abilities, right? So that's more of a branding, reputation management side. You know, others might say, well, you know what? I have a message and I really want to make sure that message is shining. I want to make sure that the spotlight is on the company. I want to make sure, you know, so everyone has a different message on LinkedIn, but we need to understand, you know, what is that goal? Then who's the target audience? Who needs to be reading this? What's important to them? What do they need to know? Right? We've got to cater it very specifically. The other thing I like to do is understand if you want to collide with opportunities on LinkedIn, how can we help you collide with those opportunities by optimizing your profile for them? So oftentimes people have opportunity. They want to give it to you, but they don't know you exist. So they're trying to find you, right? And they're finding you through keywords. So they're typing in keywords into the search. What are those keywords? Let's make sure that we understand what that is. And let's make sure that we are optimizing your profile so you're more apt to show up for those searches.
Are some businesses more suited to leveraging the LinkedIn profile than others?
Yeah, I definitely think there are some that are truly missing the boat. But ultimately, I mean, we have worked with, you know, Fortune 500 companies, but we've also worked with small little HVAC companies, you know, and we will work with a small law firm. We'll work with, you know, anything in between. And the idea here is, you know, are you working? Is your audience on LinkedIn? You know, do you make connections? Are you working in that type of an environment where you have something to say and it's not a situation where Facebook or Instagram is the right platform for you, but you want to project it on a much more professional, career-oriented site. And that's where LinkedIn fits really, really well.
What do you see as some of the top mistakes that business leaders make on their profile?
You know, I think first, you know, for someone who is, you know, a business leader, when they are looking at their LinkedIn profile, they'll say to themselves, I did that. I did that 5 years ago. Nothing's changed. 5 years, it's still fine. I optimized it back then. So it's not staying up to date with it. That's a huge issue. Oftentimes what I find is with a lot of people, they get to the sort of that crossroads where they don't even realize that their brand has developed and that they've moved to a new height in their career. And their profile is still telling an old story. You know, it's showing them in a manner that's actually, you know, it just no longer really fits who they are today. And you can see that if you get opportunities that are just so below you, that are from like, a, you know, like they're just not qualified, you know, that's a really good indication. And oftentimes what will happen is they won't update their profile, but their old stuff has a lot of content, but their new stuff has very little content. So they're optimized for a past position. So that happens often. You know, another thing that I often see with business leaders is they'll look at their profile and they'll say, look, I'm doing this for my company. And the entire profile is about their company and not about them.
Mm.
And that's a huge issue because people can learn about your company through the company page. They could go to your website. They're here because they want to learn about you. Who are you? Why are you doing this? Why does it matter? You know, what do you stand for? That's why they're on LinkedIn looking at your profile. Do not just talk only about the company because that person's going to be like, you know, I wanted to learn more, but I really didn't. Maybe they don't have anything to say. Maybe they're hiding something. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they don't have a story. And they'll move on to someone who does because people want to resonate with that leader. You know, they want to feel something. And that's an opportunity that you can very easily drop if all you do is concentrate on a sale or concentrate on the business.
The LinkedIn profile, how much should it resemble a resume?
Well, you know, even if a person is looking for a job and they're on LinkedIn for job search, remember we were talking about the different goals before. One thing I didn't mention was job search. And clearly, people are on LinkedIn. Many of them are looking for a job. But that's not the only reason why a person would be on LinkedIn. But even if you were looking for a job and you're on LinkedIn with that goal in mind, I still wouldn't suggest just copying and pasting a resume. Mm. And truthfully, you know, a LinkedIn profile should be more future-oriented. It should be really, you know, again, who is your target audience? What do they need to know? I want, if you are doing it for job search, I want that recruiter or that hiring manager or that HR professional, whoever it is who finds you on LinkedIn, I want them to request your resume. I don't want them to dismiss you because, everything's already there. I don't need to talk to them.
So the LinkedIn profile, it's not the resume. It's a
digital introduction. It's a first impression. It is your manifesto.
And the type of language that is in there, how should that feel? What should it look like? And what are, and I know this is a bit of a long question, but what are some of the silly phrases that people should stop using?
You know, isn't that funny? Because you do hear it, you know, dynamic, professional, upwardly mobile, you know, problem solver. There's a lot of really hackneyed, cliche type of verbiage there. But, you know, you'll hear people say things like, you have to write your profile in first person. Or, you know, it has to be this, it has to be that. You know, I really do believe that we need to really understand your goals, your target audience, and what's important, right? That's the very first part. And that's what's going to really determine how it's written. It's not a one size fits all type of situation. But when we write a LinkedIn profile, especially the about section, you know, I want it to be about you, you know, you, the owner of that profile. How can we best tell your story? How can we best engage? How can we best resonate with that person reading and make them feel, I like this person. I feel good about this person. I want to reach out. There needs to be that conversion where something happens. Maybe it's clicking on a website. Maybe it's hitting the connect button. Maybe it's just picking up the phone and giving the person a call. But something should happen, and there should be that desire to move forward with that person in some way.
The team that works for the company, the organization, what can the company do to help them improve their profile and at the same time make the company look good? Because it's their profile, so it's not like the company can say, do it this way or you're fired.
Some do. Some do.
But what can they do that is beneficial, especially with key people, because they have to filter it down through the organization, because if you know, the people at the bottom of the ladder don't see the ones further up doing this, well, why should I?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's a very good point. You know, if you want to make sure that the organization looks great, it really does need to start at that high level. And oftentimes saying to, really honestly, George, saying it to anybody within the organization, update your profile. The first thing that's going to happen is you're going to create fear within that individual. Why do you want me to? Are you thinking about layoffs? Like, what's going on here? You know, so to say that is a frightening thing. But then if you do say, look, we want to make sure that you reflect well on the organization. Please, you know, we want you to look great on LinkedIn. So please update your profile. What are they going to do? Almost across the board, they are going to take their resume and they're going to copy the fields of their dull, out-of-date resume, and they're going to put it into their LinkedIn profile, because that's what most people do. You know, it's hard to write about yourself. It's really, really hard to write about yourself. So ultimately, what organizations do is they will partner with us, and they will say to the leadership team, typically they're the first ones to go through, and it's, hey, we really want you to look great, and we're going to invest in your brand as well as the company's brand. We want you to work with a professional branding company who's going to help you really look your best on LinkedIn. And when we work with an organization, you know, we're not copying and pasting a resume. We are not optimizing it for recruiters and job searches, but rather we're really looking at it and saying, how can we best showcase this person and make sure that they are attracting the right opportunities, you know, and hopefully that would be, you know, investors and board opportunities and speaking engagements and clients and prospects, right? It's really making sure that it's going to help not only that person, but the company as well.
And I can see a clear benefit in terms of marketing the organization, especially for some service companies like a law firm or an accounting firm or financial planning firm, yeah. But those kind of services, because you've got a number of people who are all trying to build the business. And mm-hmm. So if you can help them look yeah. better, then it helps the company at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. And especially when you look at those types of organizations, the people are there because of their background and their abilities and their story. So it makes sense to spotlight it, because when you showcase your best, you're going to attract the best. And that's what we want to do.
Mm. Now, there's something there. You triggered a thought when you said their story. And the company will likely have a company page on LinkedIn as well. Is yeah. that a place for people also to maybe feature this, you know, the story of the week type of thing?
Well, you know, the company page is able to post. And so, you know, through those posts, you can do pretty much anything you really want to, but it would be great to, you can spotlight employees, you can spotlight clients, you can, you know, talk about the latest news, what's going on in your industry. All of those things would be fabulous for the company page to post about and broadcast. But the other nice part of this is, you know, when we do optimize profiles for the leadership team and the employees and there's this cohesion, this unity, you know, they're part of a team. Their uniqueness is still it's still being spotlighted. Certainly it is their profile. And that's something I never, ever want to lose sight of. You know, it is their profile and we want their story to be there, because that's what we want out there to attract. But once they're optimized and they start to see how wonderful LinkedIn is, and it's not just a job search platform, but it's a platform where they can connect with clients and they can connect with prospects and they can talk to other people within the industry, other leaders, and they can learn and develop and even, you know, showcase their own knowledge, they'll start to get more active on it. And when they get more active, they're going to take those company posts and start to share them. And so that company is going to see so much more traction because no longer are they limited to only their followers, but now they're able to really expand out because employees and the leadership team are sharing it with their networks. And that's when it really starts to get a lot of eyes.
Now that, yeah, there's an interesting concept there because people probably thinking, oh, I don't have time to write posts and I don't know what to write. But if the company is regularly publishing posts, then the employees can then reshare those posts. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And the other thing is, I think, George, there's this idea where you have to post every day, right? That's what most people think. Oh, social media, I got to post every day. That's hard. And it's not necessary, especially in the LinkedIn world. Now, certainly, with that said, if you want to be a thought leader, if you really want to dominate the platform, you know, you do want to post more than less. But at the same time, you can truly engage with your network and get seen by posting once a week. Even that, you know, that's something. Just, it doesn't even need to be. It's not so much the quantity as much as it's the quality.
It could be. Okay. So you certainly don't have to do it every day. How often should someone update their profile?
You know, what I see more often than not is rarely updating their profile. That's so typical because I don't know. I think people just don't like to write about themselves. They don't want to talk about themselves. And it's so easy to sort of stay away. But once it's been updated, then you do want to revisit it and you want to revisit it with some frequency. If you can go in there once a month, once every 3 months, and just go through and even if it's just a slight little edit, but a slight edit is great because when you think of the LinkedIn algorithm, now no one knows what these algorithms really are or do or how they work, but I've always found that if you just think what behooves LinkedIn, right? And so if you think in terms of search results, LinkedIn wants fresh profiles showing up, active people, people who have something to say. So, you know, by making sure that your profile is up to date, it would be more apt to show up in the search results versus one that hasn't been touched in 6 months, right? So when you think of it like that, it makes sense. Keep your profile fresh. You're going to do better in search results.
And yes, and LinkedIn does have a search tool, which you can use, or you get the advanced navigator, which even lets you search deeper. But just the simple search tool, you can search for a supplier of a service or material.
Yeah, I think a lot of people forget that LinkedIn truly is, it's a database, right? And you should be thinking of it in addition to being a social network, a professional network. It is also a search engine, and what it's going to find are people and companies that match that query. And it's great for business intelligence. It's great to learn more about, you know, companies and people. It's something that people should be using far more often than I think they really do.
And whenever I get a query from a prospect, first thing I do is I check LinkedIn and their people and read about them and what they're doing and what they say. And yeah. I'm looking for feelings about the organization. And most profiles are quite cold.
Yeah.
Do you suggest that people use phrases like, would I enjoy working here? Or we had a challenge that invigorated the team or that kind of
Absolutely.
Language?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's real, right? And I think what we're finding now, we're sort of at this precipice with AI. And yes, you can use AI to generate a slew of content. But is this content that feels authentic? Is it genuine? And are you saying it and are you using it in a manner where whoever's reading it feels it and wants to smile and feels good about it, right? That's the most important part. And I feel that with LinkedIn, what we're going to find is your profile, how you show up. That's going to be that humanity, that humanness that people are going to crave more and more. And so, you know, definitely, you know, talk about what you love, talk about your passion, talk about your mission, you know, talk about the things that excite you. Those are all really, really good things. And it's what's going to, it shows that you care, right? And AI doesn't care, but people care.
That's terrific advice because you're right. We want to work with people who care. And we want to work for people who care. Otherwise, what's the point? Otherwise, it's simply a paycheck, and which means when I get the next offer, I'm gone.
Yeah. And I think with LinkedIn, it is a place where you can, I mean, you can really help people. You know, you get on it. It's oftentimes people say, oh, Donna, you know, I want to get on LinkedIn because I want to sell. I want to prospect and sell. But, and then in the same breath, George, they say to me, man, everyone's selling on LinkedIn. Like, I feel like it's too much. So you can't have it both ways. Right. And so for LinkedIn, I really do love the idea of getting on it with the desire to forge relationships, get on it with the desire to inspire and to motivate and to educate and to add value. And when you do it in that type of a manner, you are going to attract sales. You're going to attract prospects that turn into sales. You're going to, attract wonderful projects and interesting people because you're giving, you're not just taking, and you're not just asking.
Should we be sharing our success stories on LinkedIn?
I think so. I think it's a balance though, you know, because there are some people who it's one success story after another. And after a while, you're like, gosh, does that arm, you know, or is it getting kind of... different patting yourself on the back. It's really about looking and saying, what can I share? What matters? What's important? And making sure there's some variety to it as well.
Last I checked, Donna, you had somewhere around 45,000 followers on LinkedIn, which to me sounds like a huge number. How does one build that many followers? How does it build a following like that?
Well, I will tell you, George, how many followers do you have? I'm just out of curiosity.
I think it's around 5,000 or 6,000.
That's really good. Do not discount that. That's a wonderful, wonderful follower count. And I think if anyone is looking at their own list and saying, okay, you know, do I really need to amp this up a little bit? Always use 500 as a really good benchmark. If you're not at 500 yet, work towards that goal first, you know, try to get to 500, because if you have anything less than that, LinkedIn is a little hard to use if you have a really small network. So certainly continue to build it. You know, I think what helped me is, you know, I joined LinkedIn back in 2005. So I have been on LinkedIn for a very long time. Do you remember when you joined?
I don't recall. It was after that. It might've been around 2010.
Okay. So you've still been on for quite some time. That's still a nice tenure on the platform. You know, I started in 2005 and, you know, those very first, I remember I was still hadn't hit that 500 mark for quite some time. It did take time to build. But one of the things I always made sure is whenever I was talking to people, whenever I was interacting, receiving emails, you know, whatever it was, I was always very, very deliberate about connecting with them. And so that, you know, I remember many late nights, you know, at my computer with a stack of business cards, trying to find the people in the LinkedIn search. But, you know, it's really being one deliberate to always connect, but also, you know, now what I do is when I post, and I do post more than just once a week, but again, I'm using LinkedIn with a little bit of a different velocity than I think most do. I always ask, I always say, hey, follow me. You know, I put that in the posts and I really try to put forth such good information that people want to follow me because they know that they're not going to get sold to. They know they're going to get educated. They know that they're going to get value. And so I think that also fuels my follower count, that people recognize that and they want that information. And so they hit the follow button.
I guess you don't need to accept someone as a follower because they can follow you and you can't unfollow them. But how do you decide when you connect versus simply let them follow?
Oh, that's a great question, because there is a difference, right? A connection versus a follow. Follow is a one-way street. It's you saying, hey, I want to subscribe to that person's updates. Whereas when you connect, it's saying, hey, I know this person, I trust this person. And not only am I subscribing to them, but they're going to subscribe to me and they're going to be in my network. They're going to become first degree connections, and all of their connections are going to become second degree connections. And all of those connections are going to become third degree connections. So it really does extend your reach when you connect. And that's a good thing. You know, to me, when the way I determine it is, do I know this person? Like, do I truly want them in my network? And I will say I was an open networker for a very long time, and that which also fueled my follower count. But back then, that's all you had was the connect. That's all you had. But now that you have follow, you don't need to just connect with everybody and their brother. You can be a little bit more discerning, and you can say, you know, I know this person, they know me. You know, I want to share my network with them. And that's when the connection occurs. If you're looking at someone and saying, I really don't know them, and I know they're not going to recognize me, follow. But follow with the intention of turning them into a connection eventually by paying attention to what they post, popping in their comments, and start to forge that relationship so you can hit connect. And when they look at your picture, they're going to know exactly who you are, and they're going to feel overjoyed to say, yes, I accept this person into my network.
A good practice to follow. Yes. If it's someone you don't know, let them follow you. And if they actually engage with your posts, then you might decide, then they look like they're worth connecting with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. Donna, for those who might want to do something about their LinkedIn profile or have it looked at by your company, what options do they have? What can they do?
Yeah. So, you know, a very first easy step is visiting my website, linkedin-makeover.com. And that's where you can find that we have a number of different services available. A very quick step is our AI instant profile, where, you know, you can generate a profile very quickly. And that works great. But oftentimes what I find is, it's not that they need help writing, right? But really, you need help understanding who you are and what you bring to the table and what makes you special. It's not that you can just answer questions, but you need someone to help probe and discover and dig and take those deep dives to really unleash your core message and your core story. In that situation, we have LinkedIn profile writing services where I get you partnered with a writer who's going to talk to you and interview you and then craft a beautiful, authentic, creative, and interesting, engaging profile. And then you'll have a chance to look at it and edit it, and they'll upload it for you. But it's a really great way of saying, you know what, I'm going to invest in myself and my story. And I want to make sure that when people are looking at me, they're happy with what they see.
Valuable offering. Donna, as we prepare to wrap up, if you could sit down with a business leader who would like to get a greater benefit from LinkedIn, and how does it help the business? They want to help the business and they want to attract and keep good people. If you could give them one, two, or three pieces of advice of how they might approach their LinkedIn profile and that of the team, what might be that one, two, or three pieces of advice?
No, I think it's first really understanding the goals of the company, understanding the messaging within the company, and then saying, who am I and how can I weave that with the company message? And how can I really put forth a message that's authentic, it's genuine? But we're speaking very directly to that reader, that person who's looking and who wants to learn more about us. And I think if you can do that, and you can spend the time and recognize, George, you know, to update a LinkedIn profile, oftentimes people think, oh, I can do it in 15 minutes. This is something that can be done in an hour. It does take time. Can you do it in an hour? Yeah, but if you're doing it in an hour, you're not getting the full power out of it, right? It's really to look at it and to really understand, who are you? What are you about? And that's one of the things a lot of my clients say to me, like, you really forced me to get focused and deliberate about my message and who I am, and really zero in on some of the foundational items that I've just ignored because I'm so busy doing other things. So I know that's a little bit of a drawn out answer, but, you know, like, spend the time and recognize that, you know, you do need to invest in the time and understanding who you are and that story. And when you do it, you're going to get so many, you're going to just really reap the benefits from it. There's so many good things that happen when you put yourself out there in a manner that attracts and engages and resonates with people.
Powerful advice. My guest today is Donna Cerdula, reminding you that when you're on LinkedIn, talk with your passion and your mission.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.